What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Do Things Podcast. I'm your host, Todd, and we are going to get into an interview that I had with my man, Stevie Dubs. He's a guy I met through a community on Twitter called hashtag TwitterFam, TWTRFAM, if you're curious. Search the hashtag and you'll find us all. But we've connected, and he's a musician, he's a producer, he's an entrepreneur, and a humanitarian. So we get into talking about originality and a bunch of other stuff, but it's a really good interview. Hope you like it. Let's get into the Do Things Podcast with Stevie Dubs. And I heard you talking about like biting style and like being in that world of, you know, I'm not afraid to use hooks and things that I've used before and that other people have used. So kind of from that sense of how do you stay yourself? How do you keep your individuality while still being inspired and using that other stuff? Because that's, I mean, that's what music's all about, right?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I always have to pull from like my story and just where I come from. And I mean, I know all of us have similar stories, but there's nobody that's going to have, nobody's going to tell the story that Stevie Dub tells, just, you know, just like you and everything that you're doing. So, I mean, I just do my best to stick to my roots about where I've came from. And then when it comes to like a hip hop aspect, you just got to find your seat at the table. There's so many people that have brought so much, you know, so many different things to hip hop music or just music in general, from like the Drakes, the Kanyes, Jay-Z's, Eminem. So it's like, for me, I just always keep that in mind, like trying to find my own seat at the table. And I know my originality is just always going to stem off of me telling my story and staying true to myself and where I come from and just everything that I'm about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, and you know, that's the thing that I think listening to your music and hearing your stuff, and which is great, by the way.
Thank you.
It's cool to hear somebody that's saying, look, I've got my style, I'm doing my thing, but I've got all these influences, and it's a good thing, because there's so many people that are like, I mean, you hear these, you know, Justin Timberlake's getting sued for cutting off this track, or, you know, the whole Michael Jackson thing. And then there was a big one a couple years back that I was like, how are they saying that like those three chords, somebody ripped it off and stole it and they're suing them, and that's crazy. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. It happens a lot though in the music industry. I think a lot of it just kind of stems off of like everybody feels like a sense of entitlement, like they've done one thing, or you know, they come up with this new song or whatever the case may be. Or a lot of older, you know, a lot of older musicians that I've seen that feel like resentment in a sense toward like these newer cats who are using like the same samples as them or whatever the case may be, and then not giving them credit. I understand that. I get it, but it's still, you know, it's just one of those things where it's just like, yo, let's just let music be music. And that's how I feel about it. Like, I understand like everybody has to get, you know, paid and this and that. Like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, so I definitely, you got to watch when you do things like that too. Like, even from lyrics, like people could try to sue me for saying three words that they said in the same song and been like, oh, he got that for me. Like, not necessarily, you know what I mean? I don't know. The music industry is like, it's crazy. It's a crazy.
Well, it's great. Well, and any creative industry, I mean, whether it's music or movies or anything where somebody's coming up with an idea and they're like, they stole that idea. And same thing in business. You know, it's like, well, I had that idea first. Well, okay. Yeah. But you didn't do it, or you did it, you know, like, it's first to the table, guys. Like, it's, you can't just say, well, that's my idea, I should get a piece of that.
Right. And then
that's like, crazy.
It was like what you had sent me too. It's like, is there really any form of originality anymore? Like, is every, you know, cause something was, or things are always stemmed off of something else. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I hear a lot of influence in Drake's music from Kanye West, and then, you know, like, or Lil Wayne, or, you know, vice versa, Jay-Z and Biggie, Tupac and Biggie Smalls, influences of each other. You know what I mean? So it's like,
well, that whole East Coast, West Coast, Tupac, Dre, Biggie, like that whole thing was, everybody was using everything together, but there was this tension that was, whether it was real or not, I mean, who knows, but that's a whole nother podcast, I think, in itself.
Right? Ain't that the truth?
That's killer, man. So that, and I think that's something that for people, whether you're in the music industry or whether you're in a business industry, it doesn't matter what you're doing. There's some sort of fight back and forth for the ownership of originality, whether it exists or not.
Right.
So
for me, I'm just, Yeah, no, I mean, I'm just more so the type of guy, like if I do use something that is, you know, like the idea stems off of something, like I'll speak about it, you know, and give credit to it when I put it out. I'm not going to sit back and be like, yeah, I came up with this chorus that says, like, you know, started from the bottom, now we here. I made it up. It was my idea.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know.
Far. Started from the bottom, now we're here. Yeah, no.
Right.
Well, and even I was listening to a track yesterday of yours of which one, all the way up, right? And it's okay. So you got the Fat Joe hook in it, right, which I love, and it's super cool. But there's very strong opinions that people would say, well, you shouldn't have done that. And I'm like, who, like, Siri, who cares? Like, right? I mean, has Fat Joe called you yet and said, hey, Stevie, I'm sorry, man, you're gonna have to cut that track because
I made that. No, I understand 100%. I agree with what you're saying. I feel like you said, people just, they want too much of a sense of entitlement in the music industry, especially. And it's like, dude, I rapped over like your instrumental and I've released it for free on SoundCloud and everybody and gave you credit and all that stuff. I mean, it gets a little different when it comes down to like performance royalties and like publishing and things like that. Cause I know Mac Miller a long, long time ago. Well, not a long, long time ago, but back in a couple years back, he came out with a song that was called Donald Trump, and he got like royally screwed from that. But I think it had to do with him. Like, I don't think that he paid like the producers, or he got the beat for free from some cats and then he used it and then like didn't give him credit. There's like a video of it online where he's outside of one of his shows and these dudes show up. And they're asking him, they're like, hey, do you know who produced the Donald Trump song? And he was like, honestly, I don't know. And it was them. And they were like, dude, we did that. Like, you owe us all this money.
What? That's crazy. And somebody will just show up and say, yeah, that's me. And then what do you do? Like, what do you do in that scenario?
I mean, first and foremost, you shouldn't get yourself in that position. Like, if you're going to do
it, right. Like, yeah.
You gotta know where they're coming from or who they're coming from, and then be able to do that. But you know, be able to give them credit for it. But like we said, like if it's like you see rappers doing it all the time. By all means, Drake and Lil Wayne just released a remix to one of Jay-Z's songs, on Lil Wayne's Dedication 6 mixtape, and he's getting screwed over too, which is probably the reason why he's putting out mixtapes and not albums, because which is a whole nother podcast.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a shady industry, man. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, but you have seemed to kind of just fight through it and be like, because I heard your origin story with Mike, so I didn't want to necessarily go through that. But you said a few things as far as getting to that and being in this industry that I think would be valuable to a lot of kids or adults. I don't care what age you are, that are in the industry. That's like, well, if I have a hook or I have a thing that I like, but it sounds similar to somebody else's, like knowing, I think self-awareness probably is a big thing for you to say, well, look, I know this is me. I feel comfortable saying that this is my brainchild that I'm going to use. But ultimately, somebody could come out and say, oh, that's not you. So how do you reconcile that mentally? Or are you just like, I'm good because I feel confident in what I've done?
Yeah, that's basically where I'm at.
Simple. I answered I just answered the question. So I kind of killed it.
No, I mean, I feel like I just feel like that's just kind of how it is with me. Like, I'm just comfortable with the things that I've done. And like, if anybody has like any questions or, you know, concerns with anything that I'm doing, it's as simple as like picking up the phone and calling me and asking me or whatever the case may be. But like I said, I'm pretty much an open book. So like, I'll do podcasts or things like that where like, if you really want to know something or, you know, whatever, if you do research enough, sorry, my dog's in here playing with this little water bottle.
No worries. My dog's down here asleep. So.
Hold on. But if you do research enough, you know, then you'll know, like, I don't have any ill will or bad intentions, and I'm not trying to like hide anything, steal something from anybody and, you know, things like that. But I'm sure, like you said, from like the podcast with Mike, like my years of working in the school systems kind of changed my perspective on things in terms of, you know, just doing my music and the way that I go about handling it. Cause I used to, you know, I used to want to go to events and like let everybody in Hollywood like know who I am and this and that. But I know more so now that it's like, I have to, if you build it, they'll come. So we're more focused on building our brand than going out and, you know, like having just everybody recognize us out at events, especially because in the music industry, it's like, not everybody's going to like support what you do. And if they do, that they'll do it from like a distance. Not to say that I don't have a lot of great friends and affiliates in the industry, because I definitely do, but it's a dog eat dog world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's an interesting thing that you talk about working in the schools, and which I think I'd like to talk more about that, but it seems like you're more of my focus, and my perspective is that my music is hopefully going to help a kid or a person, and it's going to motivate them to get past where I was to get to where they want to be. Cause you're, that's kind of from what I gather, from what I've heard from you. And again, this is the first time we've ever actually talked. I think maybe we should say that. Like, we're not like old friends that grew up together and I wrestled you in your backyard. Like I'm like, this is a new conversation, but it seems like you're so much moving towards, you want to reach as many people as possible, and kids seem to be a great demographic for you to do that in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, with the 7%er, you know, with our clothing brand that represents a positive, you know, a positive movement, that's kind of like where, I wouldn't say our target is only kids, but I know I'm aware of who's listening to me now. Not to say that I'm not, you know, I don't have any boundaries though still. Like, I'm aware of who's listening to me, and I do want to help inspire others. And of course, kids are going to be, you know, ones that really get inspired by what we're doing for, you know, good and bad reasons. And when I say that, it's a lot of it has to do with like, they see me with celebrities and things like that, and they're like really intrigued by it. They also take a liking into the music because the music is good. But I just know, like, for me growing up, like, my dad wasn't around. Like, me and my dad have a good relationship now, but like, I grew up in Wisconsin and he was out here. And I know that for a lot of these guys out here, the young boys that I used to mentor or whatever at schools, they need a positive like male influence. And for me being a rapper and they're listening to my music and I'm also like their teacher, like the things that I say in the classroom, they all have to correlate when it comes to my music and stuff too, because they're very quick to call you out on your bullshit.
Oh yeah. Especially when you're in the public eye, like you are.
Yeah, no, of course. Same with adults too. So like, I don't know, man, I want it to be a positive message and I want to inspire others, but I'm also not allowing that to put a cap on my creative aspect when it comes to like making music. Cause like, example, like today I'm dropping another No Beat Just Heat, starting season 3 of that on my Instagram. It's just like Fridays, every Friday I drop like a free, it's not necessarily freestyle. Some of them are written, some of them are off the top. But
it's like poetic, like it's killer.
Yeah, no, thank you, man. But I mean, I know that the kids are watching, but it's still like, these are pretty aggressive, you know, like some of them are pretty aggressive. Like, and this one that I'm releasing today is pretty aggressive. But like, I've had to have those conversations with kids where they're like, Mr. Wilkins, which is my last name, like, Mr. Wilkins, why do you swear in your music?
So, okay. So what age demo do you teach?
Well, I'm actually not teaching there anymore. Give me 1 second. Let me get this little guy out of here.
Okay, no problem.
So,
we're good.
There we go. So I'm actually, up until September, I was teaching and I'm not doing it anymore. But I was teaching kindergarten through 6th grade. So, you know.
Oh, youngins.
Yeah, the little itty bitty ones. And of course, you know, what I think I've said this previously, but my whole thing with them, when I was explaining to them like why I was leaving, first off, I started working there because of my music. I was making music before I got the job. And ultimately, being a musician is like what my goal and my dream is. So if I'm sitting here as your teacher every day telling you to go after your dreams, but I feel like I'm sitting here, you know, but I feel like I'm at this job and this job is, I wouldn't say holding me back, but I just feel like I have, you know, I have other, you know, things that I need to do in terms of me being able to move forward with my music career. Like, I would be lying to the kids and I wouldn't be being honest to them if I didn't leave that situation so that I could go better myself elsewhere, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was just one of those things that was tough. Like, it was tough for them to understand because I worked at 2 different schools. One of them that I worked at closed down earlier last year, excuse me, early in like, I think it was like June actually, after like four or five years of being open. And then I started working at a new school, but the more and more that I was there, I was like, man, I don't think that this is working out for me. Like, my heart's not in it. I'm waking up every day. I'm just like not motivated. It's just not, it's not what it was for me at first when I started. So, you know, from that point, I was just like, man, I gotta free myself and get up out of here. And I mean, a lot of the students that I taught at the first school that closed down started going to the new school. So they were all there. So a lot of these kids have seen me from like, you know, from first visiting their school as this like rapper to then being their teacher, to then teaching them again at the second school, to then me leaving. And then, you know, I mean, I still stay in touch with a lot of them, honestly. Like, they have my number, or they follow me on Instagram or Snapchat or whatever. You know, it's a small world. So they're gonna find it. They're gonna figure it out. They're gonna, you know, find a way to stay in touch.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that brings to my mind, because when I, like, with my whole thing with the do things and being motivated and actually taking action, when I'm wearing my stuff and people know that I'm out there saying, hey, do things, if I'm in a situation where I'm like, I don't really know if I should do this or if I should actually take action, I'm like, shoot, I have to, because if I don't, somebody's going to call me out. Somebody's going to be like, well, I thought you were the do things guy. You're full of it. And like, is that what you're saying? Like, you already have this persona, and the kids connect to that and they know that. And if you're not following up on that, if you didn't leave the school to follow your dream, then the kids are like, well, why would I do what you're saying, Mr. Wilkinson?
Right. Because I've even had the kids, that's exactly what I'm saying, because I've even had the kids there ask me, maybe it's because I wasn't putting out a lot of music or content, but I've literally even had them ask me, like, are you still making music? Like, are you still, are you still doing this? And that was hard for me to, like, you know, take in. I mean, I understand, like, you never know. Do they have a computer at the house? Do they, you know, do they follow me online or whatever? Because it's not like I go around plugging the kindergarten through sixth graders, like, follow me on Instagram, follow me on Snapchat, follow my YouTube.
It's not like you have a screen up behind you every morning. It's like, hey, here's my Instagram, kids. Make sure you follow me this morning. Right. Now, 1 + 1 is...
Nah, man, I feel you, but... You know, it was just tough for me to just be there every day. And I'm pretty sure that my performance was starting to go down too, like every day. Like, you know, my colleagues and things would see that. Like, you know, like I would sometimes have to run off and go into the bathroom to take a phone call or shoot a text off if we're trying to set up a show or do something. So it's just not my calling. Like, I'm very grateful for having that opportunity though, and you know, just being there and being able to meet so many kids and their parents, and I don't know, it changed my life for sure, for the better.
That's super cool. And you're still super active in the community. I know you just did an event with your business, the 7%ers, and you gave clothing, and you were at Skid Row or something like that. You did a community give back kind of thing, right?
Yeah. So this was our 7th year doing this, actually.
7th year? Whoa.
Well, it was something that my manager started prior to me meeting him. So this is my 4th year doing it and his 7th year, but 7th year for the holiday hookup to be, you know, the entity that it is. But yeah, we go and we basically, what we do is starting after Thanksgiving, we take donations from any and everybody, clothes, shoes, blankets, pillows, whatever the case may be. And we go down to Skid Row after we gather all of it up and put it in a huge U-Haul truck that was like plump full. We barely could get the door shut.
I saw some pictures. Yeah, it was full.
Yeah, man, it was fun. We go down there. We have a lot of volunteers that come this year, more so than ever before. And, you know, we take everything out of the truck, and we make sure that it's organized prior to us getting down there, which is what we've learned year after year after year. Because it was just, people would ask, homeless people would ask for specific things. Like, can I have, I don't know, I'm looking for girls' pants or a crop top or something. So like, I have a video back on my Instagram too, where I went over to my manager's house, which is like the headquarters where we kept all the boxes in his garage. And we went through just everything and put girl stuff in a box and this and that. And, you know, we're talking boxes that we had in that trailer. But yeah, man, I mean, 7th year in a row. And this year we had Subway that donated some stuff to us. Trader Joe's donated some food and whatnot. Man, I don't know. We have so much stuff. I just, you know, I can't even keep count. I'm just grateful.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well, and just the fact that you're saying, look, this is important, and I'm going to take the time and energy, because organizing, I've been involved in some things like that before, where you're with a group and it's a bunch of stuff and somebody says, organize it. And you're like, where do I start? Like, right. I can't imagine, because I saw the picture of the truck and I saw the amount of people that helped. Like, that was a big organization. Yeah. I can't, like, that's a lot of effort. You took your time to give back to the community. And that's huge, to be able to say, look, I'm practicing what I preach. I really do want to make an impact, and I'm going to do every little thing that I can to make that impact as large as possible. And I think that's huge. That's awesome that you're able to really these things that you have put in front of you. And that's huge. That'll make this world a better place, I believe.
No, that's awesome, man. I mean, we're definitely just playing our parts. I feel like it's just one of those things, especially at the end of the year and it's the holidays and all that stuff. And it's a good feeling. It's a good way for us to end the year, you know, obviously before Christmas and then, you know, New Year's and all that stuff. But it's just a good feeling. Like, we go through the whole year doing our own events. Like, we host our own events, like in downtown LA, which is like a fashion show. Mm-hmm. I go home and do a show in Wisconsin every year. And on top of like the umpteen other shows and events that we attend, like that I'm performing at or whatever the case may be. And I don't know, this is just something different. Like, for us, like, there's a different group of our following that comes out to this event specifically. Like, we may not see them all year, but once the holiday hookup comes around, the phone starts ringing.
They're there.
Out, you know, because I mean, truth be told, a lot of people, you know, that are older or whatever the case may be, like, they don't want to be out in these damn Hollywood, like, you know, venues where everybody's like drinking and messed up. And it's a bunch of young kids and they're smoking and all that stuff. And even if it's for supporting me, I get it. But like, I, you know, I understand, like, hey, man, like, you perform at 10:30. I got to work tomorrow at like 7 a.m. Like, I can't make it. But, you know, if you're going to be out at Skid Row giving back on a Saturday, like, I can definitely come out. So, I mean, like I said, we're just, this year it ran, like, I felt we loaded and unloaded the truck. And then after that, I just was like, you know, everybody else was taking care of it.
That's cool. Yeah.
This year, like I said, bigger than any year before. We had so many new faces there too, which was great. So next year's gonna be bigger and better.
And I know a bunch of Twitter fam showed up. Right?
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, man, that's a pretty cool. That's been a pretty cool situation this year, like getting involved with, like, you know, meeting new people and whatnot on Twitter. A side note on that whole thing: before, like right around that time, I started to get, which was in September, I started to get a little bit more active on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like, I literally had signed up for Twitter when it first came out years and years ago. And then I took like a huge hiatus from Twitter. I just, like, literally for like a year and a half, I didn't tweet a single thing. And I just, like, connected my Instagram with my Twitter because it just wasn't one of those platforms that I liked.
Right.
I didn't like it because I didn't take the time and effort to understand it and really utilize it for how great of a source that it is. So once I tapped back into it, I don't even remember how I got involved in it, but Mike Thorpe,
the master connector,
right? You know, he sent me, I think it was Ash's video of her Gary Vee parody. And then, from there, like probably like less than 3 weeks after I met Ash, I met her in person. They came out here to Santa Monica. So I got to meet her and Michelle, which is Unorganized and Lost. And then, who else? Adrian. And a couple other people were out there too. And then Mikhail came to the holiday hookup. Adrian came again. Michelle came. Who am I missing? I feel like I'm missing somebody.
Summer wasn't here for that.
He wasn't here. So yeah. On a side note, you guys know each other, right? You and Summer know each other.
We randomly met at the Gary Vee Shoe Palace thing in LA this year. And so.
And I was there.
Right. And I don't know. Where were you in line?
I was okay. So I got there late. This was like right around that time I was still working. Right. Okay. So that night we had like open house or something. So I didn't think I was going to make it. So one of my buddies who does photography was in line texting me and he was like, dude, like the line's not moving. I'm on like the, you know how the building went this and then you turn and then you went in. He was like on this side of the building. And then that's when Tyler and everybody came out, D-Rock, and they were like, hey, look, we're going to continue to get everybody in, like, whatever. We got to go inside and, like, you know, meet him. I know that there was a gigantic group of people who didn't actually get to go inside. I don't know how long you guys stayed, but I stayed there for a while.
Okay, so because we stayed, Summer and I ended up being, like, we were there 4 hours and we met him outside. Like, we didn't get to go inside Shoe Palace.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, dude. I literally got off. I got lucky. I got very lucky because my boy was literally like, he wasn't in the front of the line, but before it turned the corner, before you went in, he was like right here on this side of the building. So when I got there, I just jumped in line with him and we were some of the like last lucky ones that got to go in there. And then after that, they took it outside. And I mean, I probably stood there and watched you guys meet him.
You probably did.
I was standing next to, somehow I like weaseled in my way through the crowd, and I was standing next to D-Rock, and I thought it was, I'm pretty sure that everybody probably thought, maybe, I don't know, maybe not everybody, but like that I was one of the video, like one of the photographers or videographers, because I was standing next to D-Rock as if I was like trying to help shoot and film the whole thing.
Right. So
I got like, I have to go back through it and check and see if I have any footage, because there was like a lot of people that I seen like just come through there, but I can't remember how late I stayed, but I didn't stay, like I left before like they all left.
You know,
like I didn't ended up leaving or doing whatever, but I was there for a pretty decent amount of time after they, you know, closed the doors and came outside.
Yeah.
It was dope, man, it was so dope.
It was epic. And I think that the thing I go back to, like, it was cool meeting Gary and meeting his team, I think was super cool. I talked to Babin for a while, but the thing that I loved about it was literally the people we met in line, meeting Summer. There was a bunch of, did you see the dude that had the Cowboys flag that held it up when he came through?
Yeah. I don't know if I saw him or not.
He came up to like, that was his whole thing. He was pumped. He's like, I'm going to show Gary my Cowboys flag and make him hold it while we take a picture, with the whole, you know, Jets thing. But it was, we waited all the way till four hours. We didn't leave until after Gary left, and then his team was rounded up, and it was like, I don't know, 11:30, 12 o'clock. It was crazy. It was epic.
Yeah, dude, it was wild.
But so I meet Summer, and then we kind of hit it off, and it was just this, we just kind of connected, and then we followed each other. And then from there, I videoed her giving the picture to Gary. So that was kind of like, I'll be your D-Rock kind of deal. Right. And then we just kind of stayed connected. And then she hooked me up with Twitter fam.
Nice.
And I was like, holy, this is insane. Like when you get it's like initiation. It literally is. You get initiated in Twitter fam, and then it's like GIF Central, and your notifications go nuts, and it's fun, but everybody's so positive. It's a super cool group. And I think you and I and Summer connected before I was knew what Twitter fam was, because of the Gary V thing that was in Long Beach, I think.
The ComplexCon.
Yeah. ComplexCon. Did you go to that?
Yeah. I went to it. I have like a whole vlog and everything about it. Like I'll send you the link when we get done doing this.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
I met, Adrian,
The guy that went with Ashley, right?
What's that?
You went with Ashley.
Yeah. So Ash, and it was like a last minute thing, 'cause she had just gotten back from New York. No. Was she going? She was going to New York like the next day or that night, going back to New York, something like that. Or maybe she was going to Australia. I don't remember which one it was.
She's all over the place.
I know. So Adrian came down and then she came as well, and we all met there. So that was like really cool. I think that was a lot more fun for me than, I mean, ComplexCon was a lot, you know, it's a lot more fancy and jazzed up, and there's like all these celebrities walking around, like literally just free roaming everywhere. Like it was great. Yeah. The environment was just the same though. And that's one thing that I can say about it that really like for me helped me out a lot, because it's a struggle. Like I told you before, like with hip hop, it's very hard to, it's hard to find like genuine people in the industry. Like everybody like wants something, or like they just think that you want something, or like it's like, it's almost like this like grudge match of like Mr. Cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like I'm too cool to like, you know, open up. Like for me, I'm like an open book where I'm like, dude, like I watch wrestling, like WWE and shit like that. Like I'm not afraid to like tell people like who I am and talk about like the perks of me that make me a human being. And like, I feel like everybody, not everybody, but there's a lot of people in the music industry that have like this like fake facade, and I just don't like that. So for me, it was very refreshing to meet like everybody in the Twitter fam and just have these like positive connections with people where it was like egoless. There's no like drama or whatever, and everybody's like free to support. Like I can't even get people that I've known in the music industry out here in LA for 4 years to comment on one of my pictures. You know what I mean? just because it's like, I don't know, like maybe they feel like they have too big of a following compared to me to like leave a comment or what. I don't know. I just don't know what it is.
That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it is. It's just stupid, honestly. Like, but that's the thing like that I like about like the Twitter fam and everybody who's involved in it. And I feel like it's genuine support, and it's helped me out a tremendous amount, like as an artist, to just be able to just, you know, speak to you guys and people that are open-minded and that are just, look, dude, you have content, like you need me to help share it, like cool, awesome.
Yeah,
you
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, and the, I mean, having those kind of connections, people that you can really trust that, you know, are going to be humble with what's going on, and they're not going to get an ego trip and be like, well, if you didn't share mine, I'm not going to share yours. Or if you didn't like mine, because literally there's so much content.
Yeah. There's a lot
that you can't, like and share and comment on everything. But when you see it and you do it, it means a lot. It really does.
Yeah, no, I agree. And like, for me, it's, I mean, I guess I don't know how to explain it. Like, I don't know. For me, like, I'm cool with sharing any and everybody's stuff. I don't care if you have 10 followers. If I like the content that you're putting out and I'm enjoying, you know, and I'm enjoying it, and I genuinely like being like, that's all that matters to me. I don't need to uphold any image just because like I'm a rapper or whatever. I feel like that's what kind of differentiates me, is that I'm not, my circle is different. Like, the people who support me is a lot, they're a lot different than like your typical hip hop crowd, I guess, for me personally. And it's funny, my manager and I were just talking about the same thing the other day, because literally since September, like, we've seen this big shift in people who have been supporting like my music. Like, I still have like the supporters that have been there over the years, but he was like, damn, man, I'm seeing like all these new people that are liking like the 7%er page. Cause like, he mostly runs like the 7%er page. If he needs me to like run some stuff, like, I'll help him out as well. But like, he runs that page for the most part. I'm running like a bunch of other things, like, I'm on my own as well. But he's like, all these new people have been DMing me, or, you know, sending me like videos talking about 7%er, and they're tagging you in it. And he was just like, man, like, you're doing a good job, whatever it is that you're out there, you know, with the Twitter fam and stuff. So yeah, man, it's refreshing, because we've, too many times we've come across, you know, non-genuine people. And
yeah,
that, those are the only people that I want to be around. I'm not going to hang out with a specific crowd just because that's what everybody else does. Like, that's just, I'm not going to do that.
Well, you got to do you. And I think there's a lot to be said for when you say being genuine and being yourself. And people pick up on it when you're fake. Like, you can, some people are really good actors, but at some point people are going to realize, wait, that's not what this guy's really about. That's not what he really does. The whole situation with your students, where it's like, well, live your dream, and I'm not living my dream. Right. But the truth is going to come out, and you got to be yourself, and you got to do you. And I think that's something that you do a great job of, being you, and you're pretty killer. So,
hey, man, hey, the feeling's mutual, man. The feeling is mutual.
Bro, I'm just pumped that we got to do this. And I'm like, no joke, I'm really excited that the next time we do this, we're going to do it in person, and I'll beatbox, and you're going to freestyle. It's going to be epic.
I'm super down for that, dude.
Like, if you see, we'll do it on the streets in LA, and it'll be so much fun.
Yeah, man, we should definitely do that. I think that would be great. It'd be some good content as well, too. It'd just be fun to get out.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, cause that's like, I grew up playing music. My parents met doing music. I play the drums. That's my musical ability. Like, that's yeah. I got that. And then I've got my other kit set up over there too. So you can't even see it. I'm plugged in, whatever. But yeah, I still play some, played in the weekends in bars, cover tunes every weekend through college in Missouri. So, and that's a different crowd, like bar crowds in Missouri with 70s and 80s rock music cover bands. That's not your hip hop crowd.
I understand. I mean, dude, when I first was doing music, you know, where I grew up, I'm sure if you listen to the podcast, the area that I grew up in is a predominantly, you know, it's like white area. My mother's white. This is all relevant. Race doesn't matter, but just for the sake of the conversation and what we're talking about.
Yeah.
I just, my first shows would be at like talent shows and things like that. And it was just like the most awkward thing ever. Like, it was like, but it was all practice. I didn't, you know, I like, I had these dreams and visions of performing in front of all these people, but it's like, I am where I am, and I got to start here. So I remember, now that we're sitting here talking about it, I remember having a show. It was probably like my third or fourth show at I think it was at a nursing home, literally in front of like a bunch.
You rapped at a nursing home?
Literally at a nursing home. They were like, somebody called my mom and was like, hey, the nursing home is having some sort of like a talent show. Like, they want to put a talent show together for the kids. We know that your son makes music. Would he be interested in doing it? All of my friends are like, no, like, we are not going to. I was like, yeah, we are. Like, you guys are acting like we have a lot of stuff to choose from in terms of shows, or you're acting like we're Lil Wayne. Like, we are dirt right now, you know?
Right. Yeah.
We got to do what we got to do because we need to practice, you know? And it, it was fun. That much.
That has to be like the best memory ever. Like, I worked in a retirement home, so I know what, like, when they have a performance and somebody's coming, it's a huge deal. Somebody is going to come and do something. They don't care what it is, really. But right. So, like, if somebody's going to knit live in front of them, they'd be pumped. But if they're like, a musician is coming and he's young and he's energetic and it's good, like, they're probably your, well, if they're still around, probably your biggest fans.
Yeah, dude, they loved it. They loved the show. Like, you know, handshakes, high fives, hugs, pictures, all the above afterwards. You know, like, I'm going to tell my daughter and my grandkids about you. That. Yeah, man. So, I mean, I've done a lot, you know, I've done a lot of stuff. Shows like that we performed at with like nobody there, you know, back in Wisconsin. So,
Stevie Dub, the retirement home rapper. That's your new nickname, bro. That's what it is. Hashtag retirement home rapper. I'm like, that's it. Like, hey, the next show.
If somebody called me right now and was like, hey, we got a retirement home show for you, I would do it. Like, I would do it. Like,
I'm gonna call some people. We're gonna put it together.
Hook it up.
Oh, awesome, man. Hey, well, this has been such a pleasure to have you. I'm so pumped that we got connected. And like I said, we're totally doing this again, and it's going to be live, and it's going to be epic freestyle beatbox championship for real.
I'm ready, man. I'm ready.
Awesome. Cool, buddy. Hey, thanks for dropping by. Where can people check you out for the – well, I know you got the show coming up. It's in Minnesota. So if someone wants to fly to Minnesota, yeah. But it's a big show, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a huge show. Opening up for Juicy J and Waka Flocka and this artist named Lil James, who's signed to Floyd Mayweather's record label, The Money Team.
Money Team, yeah.
It's going to be a pretty epic show. It's, you know, right next to Wisconsin, so a lot of people from my hometown and everything are coming over. But other than that, I mean, if you guys want to reach me, it's everything across the board is at Stevie Dub. That's like my SoundCloud, my Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook, all the above. Our clothing line is available at 7%er. And yeah, hit me up. Let's talk. Let's do
things. And I'll put links in the description of the video so everybody, or the podcast, whichever they're watching or listening to. Guys, this is for me, like I said in the last podcast, this is the year of connections, and I want to connect and help other people connect as much as possible. So the more people we can throw your way, the better. And there is no age range that you are afraid of. So we will go from kindergarten to 95. That's what we're doing for the Stevie Dubs.
All the way, baby. 2018.
All the way. 2018, no limits. Oh, so awesome. All right, brother. Hey, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. And we're going to do this again for sure.
Definitely, man. Thank you again. I appreciate you for having me.
All right, brother. My pleasure. Thanks for checking out the Do Things podcast. We're so glad that you're part of this community. If you wouldn't mind, we would love to get your take on this podcast and what you think of it. Write us a review on iTunes or a rating. Either way, your feedback is what is going to make this show better and is going to make us a better community. We will see you next time. Get out there and do things.